wanted to just share something from the Word, and we have a brief time tonight. And then the staff have their staff meeting with Brother Andrew. I want to share a verse in a chapter in the Bible that always excites me. And I would say it's my favorite chapter in the Bible, but that changes with every chapter that I feel the Holy Spirit on. And I know that you feel that way as well. But this one I go back to time and time again. And I have a brief time tonight, so I want to just... I just want to share something that excites me. Why does it excite me? Because it excited Peter. It's 1 Peter, in that very first chapter. You can feel Peter's excitement. And I hope the Holy Spirit excites us tonight. How many of you have recently, within the past week, have gotten good news? Is anybody, I'm not going to ask you to share it in case it's personal, but how many of you have gotten some good news? Brother Andrew? Good. I'm looking at you. I'm trying to think of your name, and I want to...
Martha.
Sister Martha. And your dear husband, who we had such good fellowship with. Good to see you again. When are we doing Chinese again? Tell me. Some Chinese food, right? We had a good time. I didn't like any of it, but they were eating it. But how many, anyone over here had some good news? Good, Brother Paul, good. You know, it's exciting when you get some good news. In fact, what's the first thing you do when you do receive some good news? What's the first thing you do, Sarah?
Smile.
Yes. There's a song, Sarah Smile, I think. Way back in the past. But you smile, okay? So what, anyone else? Who said scream? Do you scream? Do you?
Yeah.
You look right. Good. Very good. Anyone else? Yes, Joel.
Go and tell everyone you know about it.
How'd you know? Is that like a pat kind of pastor answer?
Yes.
Yes. He knew where I was going. He read me. Yes. You do. You can't help but tell everybody, right? For you have young children. When they do something new and you get excited about it, you tell everyone. You tell everyone, you know what they did. I know I've done that. Anytime, even my son's 24, John Wesley, when he does something new, I still tell people about it. John learned a new word. He's got quite a vocabulary. It's funny, my first time I ever gave a sermon down in Kingsburg, I was greeted by a good friend of mine who said, Keith, you need command of the English language. And now my son's getting his PhD in English. So I must have really tried him, you know, because he's mastering it. Well, anyway, let's get excited over this. I want to just point out a few things from this wonderful chapter. And the first thing is that Peter brings to our attention is the living hope we have. Are you familiar with the living hope that we have? Do you ever get accustomed to it? Or is it fresh in your heart and your life every day? You'll find that in verse 3. He says, and forgive me for some of you, but I'm reading from the NLT. But at least it's not the NIV. So that's good news. But this is how it reads. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live, and I like the way this is put, we live with great expectation. That's that living hope that the King James, New King James puts it. That is such a great phrase. Now we live with great expectation. Do you have that? You ought to be with every one of us that on our worst day, nothing minimizes that great expectation. And how, you say, Brother Keith, but things happen. Sometimes you have a bad day, car don't start, you lose your job, or you get a bad report from the doctor. And I know what that's about, and I know how those days feel. And you say, well, how in the world, you know, the only way to do it is to celebrate every day this living hope. Celebrate it. Celebrate it in the morning. Say, thank you, Lord. We have a living hope. We have a great expectation. We have a wonderful inheritance, he begins to tell us about. If you've ever received an inheritance, it's pretty exciting. Talk about yelling, you know? You let out, if you've ever received an inheritance, even if it's $10, it's exciting, right? In these days. And Peter's excited about that living hope. But he goes on, because this expectation is so real, that he says even trials begin to have meaning in our lives. And I that you'll find that in verse 6. He says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So he starts in 6 in this version, so be glad. Because even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show your faith is genuine. That's good news. And he has such a joy in this expectation, in this inheritance, that he sees that even trials are going to be worth a lot to us. And if you've been on the way a little while, you'll find that so true. That God turned what you thought was the end into a great beginning. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Could you raise your hand? Because we all need to see that. What you thought was going to be an end ended up being a great beginning, a new day, you know? And not only the new day, but Christ is closer and the Father was dearer. Folks, but we don't ever, you know, I don't about you, I can't speak for you, but it's like we don't ever get this lesson. A dear man in the Bible, Jacob, you know, he lost Joseph. And now he was heading towards Egypt, and that whole story there, what happens? They come back, his sons come back and say, you know, they kept Simeon, now he's demanding that the youngest Benjamin come. And Jacob says, all these things are against me. But when you read the story, were all those things against him? You find out that all these things were for him in God's way. All these things were for him. And sometimes I feel like Jacob. Because it'll be like, I can't believe this. All these things are against me. These trials. Lord, you know, this is killing me. But in God's view, it's like, no. All these things are for you. And they're going to work together for good. And what is that good? That I might be made more like Jesus. That's something to get excited about. But if you go on in this chapter and read it, you'll come to verse 12. And verse 12 is a really exciting scripture. Let me read it to you. They were told, that speaking of the prophets, they were told, well, let me back up a little bit, excuse me. Let's back up to 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. I like that. Isaiah, Ezekiel. You know, they all got this message from the Holy Spirit, this vision. And, you know, they wondered, when are these glorious things going to take place? When are these things going to happen? Isaiah knew it was awesome. He said, who's going to believe this report? This is unbelievable. What God is going to work out, what God is going to do, who can believe this? But Peter says this. He says, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but were for who? For us. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm getting a little overboard here. But when I read that verse, and when it comes down to that part there, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you, I feel like canceling the meeting and throwing a party. Folks, you can't let it go dormant in you. You've got to say, you know, I tell you, it ought to be hallelujah. Thank God, because we're living in this dispensation. We're just scratching the surface of it. You know, sometimes we get excited over the dumbest things. We do. You know? And I hear it all the time. Brother Keith, you know what happened to me? I was walking and so-and-so came out, and they threw a water balloon at the back of my head, and it burst, and they get all excited. And somebody who's got a timid personality, a quiet nature, when it relating that tale to me, they're like, I was so surprised. Folks, I say when we read the Word of God, and we read that it wasn't for their day, but for us, something in us sort of let out a hallelujah, amen? You know what? You know, go ahead and say hallelujah just once. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Now, is there anything wrong with that? The living Word of God. The Word's living. I'm worried about some of you. You know? It's living. And I enjoy the Word of God. And particularly when it tells me that I'm living in this dispensation, that these things are mine. I'm going after them. And we all ought to go after them. Look what it says here. They were told, back in 12, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. This is what we live in. This is the glories that we can enjoy, that we have. But 12 says, what my favorite portion of this whole scripture comes down to this. Check it out. It says there in 12, it is all so wonderful that even the angels eagerly watch these things happen. Some versions say inquire into it. That's, if you have any imagination, let that sink in. That the angels, who God made no way for redemption, who, when they fell, God didn't redeem. When their brothers, followed Satan and fell from God, there was no avenue made. But for us, there was. And I share sometimes how, and I like to share it because I like to think about it, that one day when I'm sitting in front of my mansion, it's a large, glorious mansion, possibly bigger than some of yours, I don't know. Don't judge. As I'm sitting out, whatever these, you know, however that is, however you think of it, these rooms that we have, that God has prepared for us. And I like to think perhaps, an angel will come over and sit down. And wouldn't you love to speak with an angel? Huh? If my wife were here, you would have that opportunity. Please tell her I said that. But you know, wouldn't you love to speak with an angel? I wonder if we'll have that opportunity. We can only wonder. But God does give us imagination. And I wonder if he would ask me, I wonder if he would say, Keith, what's it like to be loved like that? What's it like to be loved? What's it like to be redeemed? What's it like to be saved? To have an opportunity that you were born again. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. What's it like to have the Prince, the King of Kings? What's it like to know that he died for you? And that he rescued you? What's that feel like? Do you feel the Holy Spirit? Do you feel him just breathe in and through you? Because that's the only way we're going to ever be able to relate to an angel, that this is what it's like. In the days of my limited life, I would probably tell him, I breathed in the Holy Spirit and freedom and liberty. I was dead, but he made me alive with himself. And I don't know if I would have the best words to tell that angel. You know, maybe the best thing I could do is just give the angel a big hug. I don't know. Right? And say, this is what I felt. Folks, let's get excited. Because it's not only how you feel, it's what has happened to us. It's where we live. It's what's been accomplished for us. The blood of Jesus Christ has set us free. You know, and yet on the day when you feel the lousiest, you're the most free. And that's the glorious truth. And so I just wanted to share this wonderful, exciting truth that Peter brings out. I'll close with verse 13. We read this, and this is from the New King James Version. Therefore, Peter says, therefore, because we have this great salvation, this living hope, this hope that works through trials, this glorious time we're living in, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you've probably heard from maybe your pastor or you've read in a commentary what that means to gird up the loins of your mind. It means get yourself, your mind, ready for action. Think about it. It ought to get us worked up. It ought to be like, you know what? That's really got me ready to do something now. Not to be dormant, not to be stagnant, but Lord, you've done all this for me. This great salvation, I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do your will. And here's three things real quick. We read there in verse 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver, it was the precious blood of Christ. That's an awesome verse too, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. You want to prolong this meeting, you folks got to be a little quicker. Yeah, amen. Amen. Let me read it again. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom that he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Wow. I've been bought. I've been purchased. Have you? You got to say thank God. Thank God. I'm a purchased person. And here's the three things I'm going to leave with you before we say amen tonight. All right? Are your ears open? Are you listening? Here it is. A purchased person has three wonderful things. It comes from this chapter. It's it's this. You're valued. You're valued. The world doesn't define me anymore. I lived that way too long in my teens. You know, I was so worried about what this person thought, what they thought. How do they see me? What do they think of me? Do they like me? Oh, that person's not smiling. They don't like me. And the world defined me day in and day out. I could look at some of you and I can tell that you're still being defined by what other people think and what other people say. The greatest freedom is this, to know you're valued. God defined me. That's it. And, you know, Peter brings that out. A purchased person is valued. You're everything to God. I like to tell folks in the chapel that the greatest song that we could ever learn is this: Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's an awesome song. It's not a kiddie song. It's the truth. It's the very word of God, right? Here's the second thing. We're rescued. We're rescued. A purchased person knows how it feels to be rescued. How many of you here have ever been rescued by someone? Go ahead, come on. Raise your hand. Yeah, all right, you were thinking. I nearly drowned and I was rescued. And you know, I'll tell you something. When I was pulled out and sat on that beach, whew, I was grateful. But here's the thing. Rescued people who've been rescued by the blood of Jesus Christ, you find out something. You know how to rescue others. You know how to have mercy and compassion. You know how to have a heart that's other-minded when you've been rescued. And the last thing is this. You have a great purpose in life and a destiny now when you've been purchased. You realize that you're not just, as Isaiah said, a blade of grass that has sprung up and by evening will be gone. You realize that God now has given you a purpose and a plan. That's exciting too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little tricky sometimes discovering that plan and that purpose. It's a little tricky. It takes a little neology, a little diligence. You know, I think God knows what he's doing. Isn't that an understatement? And he knows that if he gives it to you right away and you have the map, you'll run with it. So what does God do? He gives you a little bit. Sometimes when young people say, "I feel so lost," I said, "Oh, that's good. That's a good thing." Because a lost person will follow the shepherd, right? A person with a map, they'll GPS it in the wrong direction. You know, and there's no recalculating sometimes. So follow the Lamb, right? And follow the Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we are excited about the Word. And we feel the same excitement that Peter felt for this great salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you've made a way that even our trials can be turned to gold. And every time you do that, you amaze us, Lord. And every time we're just brought into a greater and closer relationship with you. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that what the prophets saw, we enjoy and we walk in. And Lord, that we are really sometimes just scratching the surface. We pray, give us the promise of the Father. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Give us a greater revelation of yourself. Oh, Lord, we pray that you, Lord God, will help us to cast off any apathy or lethargy, and we'll run after you. Your word tells us that they that come to you must believe, and believe that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And we want to run after you. Draw us, and we will run after you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, too, that we are redeemed. We pray, God, that as we are redeemed, we'll believe for others to come in and know this truth as well. Know the glorious freedom of being set free. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and we'll sing a great old hymn. It's number 2. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, dear Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, do offer you praise, O God, with all our heart, for all that you've wrought, for this great salvation, O God. Lord, for the Holy Spirit. O Lord God, we want to give you thanks this evening for your graciousness to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the move and the work that the Holy Spirit does and in and through us. And we pray that even this evening, Lord, that you will work in us, our hearts. We pray that you'll keep this camp under the blood. Lord, if any are still traveling up and tomorrow, we believe you to have your will accomplished. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.